there playing the Madison Square Garden, you know, all of a sudden it changes. It's the same way with us. Like, it doesn't matter what the stage is. It doesn't matter what's going on. We only have 12 regular season games. And in football, the rest of the stuff that goes on doesn't mean anything. What matters is when you play in that game. And that's where the competitive stamina focus has been in the offseason, and it continues to be moving forward. So we did some good things last week, but we still got a long way to go.
A couple games in, and I know you've got a couple games to evaluate on tape. You had a chance to play a little bit of depth in the fourth quarter last week. But in terms of developing younger guys, just in general, how much more prepared do you think your second and third string guys are, even if they haven't gotten playing time? How much more prepared are they now to be able to get in the game where you guys won't miss
a beat? We're getting there. Last year, we had starters who weren't ready, you know, so forget second and third string. But there are some guys in the program with a lot more experience than we had last year in all phases. The younger players, the freshmen, whether it was COVID or some of the things that have gone on during their high school career, you know, they need to get on the field and play more. But they're learning, and a lot of them are overwhelmed right now with everything that's going on. So many of those guys, you know, for all of us, we're back to normal, quote unquote. What's normal for an 18-year-old who spent a year or so in COVID during high school? And so they're still trying to figure it all out, and they're doing good, but some days are better than others. And the more they get a chance to play, the better we're going to be, and the more we can build our depth. But for the older guys, I think they're doing a solid job.
Right in front of them, Jacob Bench, the Lantern.
Yeah, here I just want to ask about Jackson. Do you have any sort of update? How's he progressing through just the rehab?
He's further along than he was at this point last week, and you know, we're going to expect him to play this weekend. We'll see how this week goes. But like I said, we're going to only put him in the game if we feel 100% sure that he's ready to roll. But we're expecting him to play.
Gotcha. And you were talking a second ago about preparing for non-conference games. When it's an in-state opponent like Toledo or et cetera, just what sort of emphasis do you have on maintaining that success, the standard against in-state programs? Because it's been a while since your team's kind of fallen to an in-state opponent.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great football in the state of Ohio, and we all take a lot of great pride in that. So when you play somebody from your own state, you know, it's a strange feeling. You know, Jason does an unbelievable job. Toledo has a very proud program, and so do so many in the state of Ohio. Luke does such a great job at Cincinnati. So I think we're all proud of being from Ohio, and, you know, the high school football in the state of Ohio, all promoting that. So when we get together to play on the field, it should be a great night.
Fourth row middle, Pat Murphy, 24/7 Sports.
Ryan, I know penalties are something you addressed after Notre Dame. It happened again this weekend. What do you do to address specifically the penalties that you've seen? How do you address that so that it doesn't become an ongoing thing throughout the year?
It's like anything else. You know, either you're accepting it or you're coaching it, and you have to take that to heart when you're a coach. So, you know, they're being addressed. You know, we have our ways of doing that, and, you know, that's not going to be accepted moving forward. There are certain things that, you know, in the game that are going to happen, and a lot of that is coaching and technique and execution, and other things aren't. So, you know, once you start getting yourselves back into the game and the emotion of the game, you have to be able to take a step back and play with emotion and not let emotion play with you. So all learning experiences, but like you said, we got to get better.
Dallas Gantz, a guy who maybe didn't play as much as he wanted here, but now in Toledo, now playing quite a bit. What did he mean to this program, maybe behind the scenes, that people didn't see?
You know, throughout the whole recruiting process, Dallas and his family were excellent. And while he was here, same thing. And, you know, it's great to see him playing. So they wish he was playing for us. But you know, it's not great when you get have to go play somebody that was in your program already, you know. But he comes from a great family, a great program. And I guess we're all kind of getting used to a little bit of this transfer portal and how it works. And I guess this is the real positive side of the transfer portal, an opportunity for someone to go play. And so I'm glad he's doing well.
Deep into the back, Jeremy Birmingham.
Ryan. I'm well back here. So, obviously, you know, we can talk about transfer portal and how that's changed things a lot in college football. In the last year, we've had 12 months, 13 months of NIL stuff now.
Yeah.
Just generally speaking, how has that changed relationships in recruiting and conversations in recruiting?
It's changed a lot. You know, I would say for our players who are doing great in NIL, for them, it's almost like a bonus because that wasn't talked about in recruiting. You know, they weren't, you know, part of that. Now this next crew coming in, this is part of the conversation that the guys are talking about is the NIL situation. So I think that will affect things moving forward, just the way things are. But I also think, like you're saying, when you mix in the transfer portal, when you mix in all these types of things, I think, again, transparency is critically important because at any point they can decide not to go to your school and go somewhere else. So what you say in recruiting, you have to follow through with. And if you don't, then there's going to be problems. So I guess that part is a positive, you know, it's just the transparency in recruiting.
And again, in just a general sense, when are you hearing more of that conversation from recruits or from parents and what Urban would call third uncles and that kind of stuff? I mean, how do you balance that out?
Oh, yeah, I would say all of the above. There's, you know, recruits who kind of handle their own recruiting. There's families that the parents kind of handle the recruiting. And then there's other situations where there are, you know, mentors or uncles and they have a big part in it. You know, every situation is very different, but now that NIL has become part of the conversation, there seems to be, you know, a lot more people, you know, involved.
Fifth row right, Spencer Holbrook, Letterman Row.
Right, you've already touched on Jackson Smith and Jigbo possibly coming back, but not that him getting hurt was any sort of blessing, but to see Emeka step up now, right. It seems like you've got to get him the ball even when Jackson gets back. Is it kind of a blessing in disguise now?
Yeah, I mean, we're a different team when Jackson's in there. There's no question. But to your point, I think that we've had to, you know, have some other guys step up and figure a few things out. And I think that has been good for the longevity of the offense and the depth of the offense. So, you know, we can't wait to get Jackson back, but it has allowed an opportunity to get some guys out there and kind of build some packages.
I know you love when we ask about throwing the ball to the tight end. Kate Stover's already caught 5 passes or 6 this season. Is there a more concerted effort by CJ, by you guys, by Kevin, to get him the ball, add that another dynamic to your offense?
Well, you can see the play he made. I mean, he looked great on that route, and he's been strong. And that's what we're seeing in practice. And Cade's a weapon for us. And we know with the strength of our receivers that we're going to get him in a lot of one-on-one situations. And so he is another weapon for us. And yes, it's good to see him get some catches, and hopefully we can keep building on that for him.
Third row left, Dan Volk, 11 words.
Ryan, number tight end, G Scott, got in there for some more plays this past week. Do you kind of view him as a guy who, you know, can supplement both your tight end and your receiver depth with his skill set?
Well, you know, he came over from receiver, but he works with tight ends full time, and you can see his ability to block as a tight end, and that's great. So it gives us a lot of versatility there. You know, and each of those guys give us a different skill set, which allows us to adapt in game, which is what happened last week. And I thought what you brought to the table really helped us in that game as they were going from 3 down to 4 down. I don't know how they viewed G, but it looks like they viewed him as a receiver. And then we lined him up as a tight end, and we didn't really see any more 3 down drop 8 for the rest of the game, which is great for G. And so now we can build on those types of things. Yeah.
And with Denzel Burke, you know, he had a couple of penalties, had it gave up a big play. He came out of the game for a while. So just, how do you kind of feel about how his season has started and how he can bounce back from those things?
I mean, Denzel is very, very talented, and you guys see what he's capable of. And, you know, I think that, you know, he's going to keep working to get better. And, you know, he certainly has some plays he wants back, but you know, we're all confident that he will, and you know, he's ready to make those plays. But at the same time, you know, he's got to identify what those things are that, you know, got him jammed up on those plays and make the adjustments from there.
All right, front of up, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com.
Ryan, it's kind of weird to ask this question, but the touchdown pass to Emeka, the route he ran, was that kind of similar to what you guys did with Chris against Wisconsin in 2019 at all?
Yeah, similar. Similar, yeah, I would say so. A little bit different. That was in a 3x1 set. This was a 2x2, but yes.
Okay. But yeah. Whether it's Justin or CJ, where do you want him to put that ball exactly on that type of route?
Right on the money. you know, that one was well done because Emeka kind of worked his way through a lot of traffic there. And it didn't quite drop the way that we expected it to. But what it did allow to have happen was because he kind of got caught up in the trees in there, the rest of the coverage kind of got depth. And so it opened up the middle of the field, which is what we were trying to get down there. But Emeka was strong. And I'll give Emeka a lot of credit. He plays physical. He plays strong. Where, you know, in that situation, a lot of receivers may have kind of got bumped off the route. The route would have been dead. I mean, he just kept pushing through it. And the protection was excellent. Mayan Williams picked up a nickel blitz there, who kind of added on. And that was really well done and allowed CJ just enough time to slide in the pocket. I think that's another thing that CJ is doing a good job of, you know, is his pocket presence. He's had to escape a couple times. He slid there to buy himself a little bit of time. The protection was good. And it allowed us to play for, you know, an opportunity for a big play. And I think that's something we talk about with our whole line is that, you know, when plays like that, when you can give the quarterback and the receivers time, boy, the rewards are huge. If you don't have good protection there, that play doesn't develop because it took a long time.
Yeah. Just update on Julian Fleming and see kind of on the same development with Jackson.
Back same there. Thing. Yeah, we're expecting Julian to play this week. Same thing. Well, I think he's very similar to the Jackson situation, yes.
Front row right, Joey Coffin, Columbus Dispatch.
Ron, you mentioned Jackson was like further along than last week. Is he doing anything better? What can you just share on his progress?
Yeah, it's just in the rehab and just in the strength and you know, flexibility and all that stuff.
And as far as the cornerback, J.K. Johnson came in for Denzel Bergen that second quarter and he's got quite a bit of snaps. What did you see for him? It's probably like longest look really had it.
Yeah, no, J.K.'s done a really good job. J.K. has a lot of skill. You know, he can really run. It means a lot to him. He's practiced well. He's done a good job. And I think that's one of the things that, whether it's preseason or during the season, the only way you get better is to practice. And that sounds like, you know, a cliche from a coach, but it's true. J.K. has practiced. And because of that, you know, he's allowed himself, you know, the opportunity to get out there and earn some snaps. Now, what he does with those snaps, you know, that's going to be between he and Coach Walton. But I think you see his capability.
Over to the right, Clay Hall, WSYX.
Because of the depth on the D-line, is what's the fight for playing time like? Or a first, second, and third team kind of defined?
Well, I think it's week to week, but I think you can start to see, you know, a bunch of guys kind of fill into their roles a little bit. But there's good players in there. It's a long season, so we're going to need them all. And it's great to have fresh bodies coming in and out of there.
I think at one point in the preseason, Jim Knowles said there are things about the defense only he knows, and he keeps those to himself. Does that add to the mad scientist persona, or?
Yeah, I guess.
Think he's got a bunch of secrets up there?
Yeah, I guess we'll play like charades and see what he's got in his mind. I just think, you know, you have a vision. Anytime you're a coordinator of what you want it to look like and where you see it going. And there's certain things that you know need to be said and certain things that need not to be said. And I think that's, again, the art of motivation, the art of coaching. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that, you know, he's looking forward towards because it's a long season. And like we talked about last week, you got to upgrade every week and you have to stay a step ahead of the opponent. And that probably that's what he's talking about.
Right in front of him, Don Tavares, WBNS.
Ryan, how much do you pay attention? Each week you're focused on the opponent, but how much do you pay attention to what happens in college football, the upsets and whatever? And as you hammer your guys on the competitive stamina, do you use those things as examples?
Well, when you have a noon game, there's nothing better than being home at about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then just sitting there and watching the games and watching some of the other coaches and teams have to go through what we go through. But it was great to sit back and watch some of those games. There were some great games, and you know, tribute to you know all those teams who played really well and did a great job in the off season. And I thought it was wonderful. But it does go to the point that you know whether it's this year or any year, you know anybody can beat anybody, and you have to have that approach when you come into the games. And there's some really good teams out there. We're going to play one this week, so. You know, do I look at the rankings and all that? No, because that doesn't matter. We have to keep winning. But at the same time, you know, we do watch to see what's going out there, trends, what's going on along the college landscape, how teams are and what are the strengths and what's going on offense, defense, special teams. So, yeah, we're always looking at those types of things.
As you look at Toledo, what jumps out?
Well coached. first off. Good players, good skill, a couple really good guys defensively up front. You know, they've upgraded in a couple areas with the transfer portal, and a team that, you know, will come in here and play really hard. You know, they're not going to come into Ohio Stadium and be intimidated at all. So I think, you know, you combine all those things, you get a really good opponent.
Front row right, Austin Ward, Rivals, 97.1, The Fan.
Ryan, you didn't seem all that concerned after the game about Mike Hall. Did the evaluations Sunday and Monday pair that with him?
It did.
Okay. Kevin Wilson kind of joked midway through camp that he thought Mike Hall was the best third string defensive tackle he had ever seen. When did you start noticing that he was going to be a key part of this for you?
Yeah, I mean, in the preseason, you could see what he was doing. He was very disruptive. And you really have to earn your way here. You know, you don't just get thrown into it when you have some guys who, you know, have been here for a little bit longer. And so you have to earn your time. But at the end of the day, the best players play. And, you know, he's been very productive. You know, I think he's got five TFLs maybe in the first two games. And so if he can keep building on that, a lot of good things are going to happen. But I think across the board, there's a lot of good guys, you know, guys who played well up front. And we got to keep building on that, keep growing on that. I think Ty Hamilton, I think, you know, Larry said, had his best games to date, so that was good. And you're seeing a bunch of guys get in the backfield to make plays.
What did you think about the way Perry and Josh Proctor managed that situation in week one and the way they got through to week two in the bounce back?
It's similar to what we were talking about, where, you know, when you're on the field, you gotta play well, and it's very competitive here. And unlike last year, we have some more experience to go back on, and you know, Josh is gonna play. But you know, just like any position, you got to produce, you got to play well. And certainly, I know he wish he had that first play back, and maybe a couple other ones. But you know, he and Perry are working hard to make sure that he's playing his best football right now, because that's the goal. And but we have some good guys back there, so it's very competitive.
Fourth or right, Cameron Teague, The Athletic.
Ryan, Trevion and Mayan are pretty much split in carries right now. Kind of just your evaluation of their game through the first two games, and how much does that open up what you guys can do offensively when, if you need to lean on them late in games, I mean, they can wear down a defense.
That's very important. It's the balance that we're talking about, and I think it's gone about the way that we expected. You know, if you're starting to lean on one guy too much, then that can hurt you late in the season. So, you know, we want to kind of split those carries the best we can and keep them fresh week in and week out. But they're running hard. They're running violent. And we need to continue that. We have to continue to take care of the football, number one. And protection has been solid for the most part.
On my end, his development from last year to now, has it been about on par with what you expected from him right now?
He's ahead of where I thought he would be. If you said, you know, where do you think mine will be 6 months ago? I thought he had a really good spring. I thought he had a really good preseason. And because of that, he's playing well.
Second row right, Bill Landis. Right.
Ryan, when you get young guys in at the end of the game like you were able to this week, is that more about just, you know, you want just like get them on the field so they can get used to what it's like? Or as a coaching staff, how much stock do you put into like a guy like Caden playing the way he did when the game's, you know, it's out of hand? I'm sure the other team is tired of getting, you know, run over for four quarters. Like, is that still meaningful for you guys if you try to assess whether or not a player can help you moving forward?
1,000%. Yeah. I think that's everything. You know, it's like when you step on the field, what do you do? Are you doing your job? Are you producing? Are you doing the things that we've done in practice? And it doesn't matter what the score is. It shouldn't matter. And especially for a young player with an opportunity to get out there and show what he can do. And, you know, if they go out there and they do it, then usually you know pretty early if they can handle just everything that's going on. Because in a game, there's a lot to process. Sometimes in practice, it's very segmented. You get, you know, 3-4 plays in a row, and then you kind of catch your breath. And, you know, it's, you know, team run or inside drill or 7-on-7. But when you're in the game, there's a lot going on. And we kind of call it the fog of war. Things can get foggy real fast. But some guys, they thrive in that environment. And so we look at all those types of things.
And as you assess the run game through two games, you know, you look at the final stats, they look pretty good, right? But has it been as clean as you want it to be? I know that's a thing that's a continued building throughout the season, but just where you are through these first two in terms of how it's looked, does it look the way you want it to look?
Yeah, I mean, we got a long way to go. We're nowhere we need to be, but it's cleaner than I expected. I just think we look like we know where we're going. Running backs are running hard. I mean, we're on the same page. It's just, it's well put together. And so that part's been solid. We're nowhere we need to be. I mean, we got a ways to go. But I have been pleased with where that has been. So a lot of things to get better at across the board. But that has been positive.
Second row middle, Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
Jordan Hancock had practical dress for both of these games, but hasn't been on the field, obviously. Yeah. Just where do you assess where he is right now and how much he can help whenever he is active again?
Well, he's talented enough to help, and we counted him to be in the two deep and be a contributor right off the bat. So I think we'll finally get him back this week. We're hoping for this weekend. It was a significant injury that took a long time to get back from. So he's been working hard. It's not like he hasn't been working at it. He and Stu are out there every day working and grinding at it, but it was a pretty significant one. So we think that this week he can do, start getting into some of the scout work. He actually got a little bit of scout work in last week, and we're hoping to see him on the field this weekend.
And with Emeka, obviously it seemed like Julian was probably picked still to be the starter there before he had whatever setback he has. Do you have to reevaluate that now? And just how big of a role Emeka's going to have in this offense going forward based on what he's proven?
What we thought going in was that we were going to roll these guys at different positions. So all those guys really learned all of the positions. And when Jackson and Julian were unavailable for that first, we were good going into Wednesday. And then by the time we were in the second quarter of Saturday, we were down two of those guys. So it was a little bit of a panic there. And so because of that, Emeka and Marvin and X have really got stretched pretty thin here early on, taking a lot of reps. And so to get those guys back is going to be critical. And then from there, we're going to just parse out the reps the best we can, which means, who's taking the first snap, I'm not sure. But those guys are all going to play because they all need to.
Got time for just a couple more. Front row middle, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
You kind of addressed this a little bit, but we're two games in. It's obviously still early. You talked about some of the deficiencies. I mean, are you in general pleased with where you guys are and what needs to improve?
I wouldn't say I'm pleased because I just we have to continue to have that edge and make sure that we know that we're nowhere we need to be. I mean, it's good that we're 2-0, but we got to keep growing and keep have that edge to us that we got to improve ourselves every week. So areas improvement. Certainly the penalties is one thing that's ridiculous. So we got to get that fixed. But across the board, I think it's just everybody and everything. I don't think it's one thing that's glaring. I'm certainly we could sit down and probably identify three or four things. But without getting into that, I just think everyone has got to improve. The coaching's got to get better. The execution's got to get better. The pad level's got to get better. And, the only way to do that is to practice. And then your test is on Saturday every weekend. And again, it's regardless of the opponent.
And the defense has obviously played well, out only one touchdown. Surprisingly, no turnovers. Is that something that's a concern, or is it kind of like those things kind of happen in waves?
I thought that was unique, too. I was thinking about it the other day. But if you start saying something like, hey, we need to start creating turnovers, then all of a sudden you start going away from your fundamentals and you start to try to force things. And I got a feeling those things are going to happen for us because we are very disruptive now. Haven't created any turnovers, but have created a lot of TFLs and a lot of sacks, and so I think that's been good. And the turnovers are going to come.
And final questions, front row right, Tim May, Letterman Row.
Ryan, if I was going to put together a clinic film on four different touchdown passes a guy could throw and show patience and/or accuracy, etc., it would have been the three to Marvin and the one to Egbuka. Where do you come down on that and standpoint? What is it just showing you about the versatility, not only of your quarterback, but like you talked about earlier, his patience?
Yeah, I didn't think of it like that until you just mentioned it, but I think it's a really good point. And really the one that they called an incompletion on Marv was really well done in the red zone. He went to the second part of that read and really put it, we call it down and dirty, right in his belly. And then, we didn't come down with it. But no, I think that's good. Do I think, by any means is CJ where he needs to be? No, he's got to keep growing and keep building. But it was good to see him get into a rhythm and make a lot of those different throws, like you said. Movement's been good down the field. It was really good yesterday or on Saturday. It was good to see him play like that. And then also get into the rhythm with some of those younger wide receivers. And I thought the game slowed down for Marvin in the second game. You could just see just the depth of the routes, the timing of the routes. Everything just seemed a little bit more in sync, and we got to keep growing on that. So,
And one of the, I know you watch the whole game film, or you watch the defense the next day, right?
Right.
Give me one defensive play that just stood out to you. I'm not looking over the bench. I'm looking on, maybe I'm throwing one out there, the Mike Hall sack on 4th and 1, where they're still in the game, whatever, and he beats his guy, beats the guard to the left and uses like a turnstile, turns right into the quarterback. I mean, that's a game changer, whatever. Just what was your take on that?
Yeah, no, that was great, and he's been like that, and that was good, big time play, and I guess that's a turnover there when you get a turnover on downs, right? But I liked when we came out of the half, we scored, we got a 3-and-out, and on the third down play, we executed that zero blitz, and Steele got home for the sack. We got the thing around midfield. 2 plays later, we scored another touchdown, and then we flipped the score with 14 points. And actually, defense came back and had another 3-and-out, and we didn't. We didn't score on offense the next time. We could have flipped it 21 points in probably about, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes. And so so that part was good, but you can see what we're capable of.
Thank you.
Great. Coach, thank you very much.
Thanks.